Candyman Rose, What Remains. Brina stared at her reflection, recognizing herself only when she caught her own eye. If one were looking quickly, they may not notice how she had changed. Perhaps they would notice she looked a little tired, or maybe she gained a few pounds. Nothing would jar them to think anything was wrong or troubling. She had been so overwhelmingly consumed with what was going on inside her body that her outer physical being had slipped her attention. Standing, disrobed for a shower, in front of the wide, all-encompassing mirror she and her partner Mel installed with excitement when they first bought their home, she could not escape the image of what her body had become. There, right there, illuminated from the line of track lights, were the markings and scars left upon her body. Brina was aware of the emotional and mental toll these past 4 years had taken on her, all too aware of the damage that had been caused. She survived through life one notch above depression. There was a constant sadness that enveloped her, one she did her best to mask behind a brave face and the tasks of each day. Seeing, truly seeing, the physical manifestations of her failures was startling, and she couldn't look away. Upon her pale skin were indications of what should have been. There, under the glare from the bulbs, was proof of what she was almost able to make real. Brina had been entirely focused upon this one pursuit for so long. She could not remember her life before. Visible blue veins starting a few inches below her shoulders trailed down her chest. If she turned to the side and raised her arm, she could make out small red broken lines tracing a path toward her breasts. She couldn't help but notice the sight of her now constantly erect nipples. Where once she was so fair that even her doctors could not detect any coloring to outline her aureoli, a physicality that made her lovers envision seducing fair maidens and rescuing damsels whose skin was too porcelain to be of the real world, were dark, bumpy, uneven circles. In disbelief, she traced them with her fingers. How unreal they felt, and sensitive, still, so very sensitive. In a daze, her hand moved down her stomach, its skin still soft. She hadn't ever achieved a hard, flat stomach, though it was less in the past. Then, 3 different times it was more, so gloriously more, once for almost 4 months. The first time it took, she and Mel were so excited they immediately began to eat any food craving they could imagine. Her stomach expanded quickly from that frenzy, and then a little more to make room for what was growing inside. If she looked down, she could see the signs of her skin having stretched. The pink indented marks were bright and evident. Brina bowed her head. Is this what Mel sees? Is this what I have to offer her? The tears started slowly and quickly flowed with a consistency that made it hard for her to breathe. There was no book to prepare her, no person that could have told her about what remains, what stays with you long after you bury your dreams, long after 4 different doctors confirm you have no more viable eggs, long after you turn the nursery back into an office, long after you come to terms with it not being possible, left feeling hollow with all the markings of what could have been. Such a different feeling was evoked from these markings now as from when they first appeared. Then, the markings were symptoms, early and true. She had been elated to see them. She embraced them all with loving words and almost constant attention. "Bree, I'm home!" Mel called out as she eclipsed the hall that led into the first half of the bathroom. "Hey, babe, what's wrong?" Mel, seeing Brina in such a state, scrambled to her side. Brina looked her reflection square in the eye and tried to stop shaking. "What is it, sweetie? Talk to me," Mel implored, her heart jumping from uncertainty and worry.
I came to take a shower,
and, well, look at me." She cried and threw her hands over her eyes, suddenly too ashamed to look at herself or at Mel. Brina's self-blame and humiliation took over, and she needed the world to be blind. She was existing on being gone. She had disappeared, allowed herself to fade with her dreams. Seeing herself in the harsh reality of the day, and now captured in her lover's worried gaze, she could no longer pretend it was all okay. "Just look at me." "I am. I am looking at you, and I do, every chance I get." Mel looked steadily toward Brina, her breathing slowly calming from the unexpected sight she came home to find. Mel was able to take in a deep breath. She was certain Brina was not in any physical danger, and this helped her steady her own heartbeat. The sight of her partner of 10 years visibly shaken and upset was always hard for her to take. Mel wanted to take the pain away. She knew Brina was sad, had been sad, and she hoped every day she would let her in to help. Maybe, if nothing else, this could be an opening. Mel covered Brina's hands with her own and gently moved them down so she could look into Brina's light gray eyes. Her heart caught at the sight of them puffy and red splotched from crying. "How can you? I'm repulsive! I'm a failure, and I have all the scars to prove it." Brina's sobs turned violently into hiccups, and she turned away from Mel's loving gaze. "Scars? What? Baby, no, no." Mel reached behind her to grab a towel off the rod and spread it over the counter. She gently circled Brina's waist and lifted her up to sit on the soft terry cloth fabric that had taken them weeks to decide upon back when they were decorating. "Come here. Try to breathe, sweetie. That's all you have to do. Just breathe." Mel placed her hand on Brina's knee and kept it there while she found a washcloth and ran it under warm water. She pressed the excess water out, found a small glass, and filled it with cool water. Brina slowly drank the water, feeling the liquid soothe her throat. Mel dabbed at Brina's tear-stained cheeks and eyes with the warm cloth. Silently occupied with helping Brina center herself, Mel found Brina's eyes, and neither of them wanted to look away. Mel gently swept Brina's hair from her forehead. She brought her hand down to caress Brina's cheek. "You are beautiful. There is nothing repulsive or scarred about you."
"Yes, there is. Can't you see them? They're all over me. I will never be without them."
Brina's words were whispered with an urgent fright for how she felt and what they represented. "What? Do you mean these?" Mel reached out and skimmed the light blue veins with a feather-light fingertip. "These beautiful lines couldn't possibly be what you mean." Mel continued her finger along the small red ones off to the side. "Or do you mean these pretty little ones?" Brina thought it should hurt to have these touched. She was confused and surprised to feel a tingling sensation from Mel's soft trace. "You couldn't possibly mean these?" Mel asked as she gingerly smoothed a few fingers over the top of Brina's breasts. "I'm sorry if they have felt neglected. It's just that I know how sensitive they are. I'm afraid my desire might be too aggressive, and I don't ever want to hurt you."
"But..."
Brina started in disbelief. "Oh, wait, you couldn't have meant these." Mel interrupted and cupped her hands across Brina's lower stomach, where the few stretch marks strained to be noticed. "Surely you know how much I love these."
"Love?"
Brina looked quizzically toward Mel.
"Of course. Why do you think I kiss them every night?"
Mel answered and bent down to give the lines sincere kisses that brought a remembrance to Brina that was strong and full of awe for Mel's actions. Brina was aware of Mel's nightly ritual, though she had come to think of it as a habit left over from when Mel would kiss her stomach in attempts to kiss the baby. The baby that never came. The baby
that wasn't meant to be.
Brina closed her eyes and relaxed her head to fall back in response to Mel's kisses. They were soft, sweet kisses that felt like velvet. Despite how good the affection felt, Brina could not stop her mind.
"How can you love them?" Brina asked, lifting Mel's head to search her eyes. "How?"
She loaded that one word with everything she was feeling. The regret in its timbre expressed all that she was afraid to be true.
"Oh, baby. Because it's all you. Don't you see? I never thought I could possibly have more of you to love, or more ways to show you how much I love you. Now I do."
Mel hoped her words could penetrate the doubt she could see in Brina's eyes, and the scared tone she heard in her voice.
"More of me?"
Brina questioned, not quite grasping what Mel was saying.
"Oh, yes. Look at all we have learned from this process. You didn't fail at anything. You succeeded. Just look back at all the things you thought you could never face, and yet you did, every time, with grace and commitment and strength."
Mel smiled at Brina, noticing her tears had stopped falling.
"And I'm not only speaking metaphorically. Look at these luscious hips. Yes, I have noticed that they stayed slightly larger, and oh, how I love to hold on to them. Turn around and look at your beautiful breasts. See how they've remained fuller? Not that I was complaining before, mind you."
Brina turned around again to see Mel's hands holding her slightly more rotund breasts.
"Baby, if you weren't so sensitive, I would be devouring these for every meal, and then again for dessert."
Brina couldn't help but smile when she realized she was still wearing a larger bra. Mel was right. Her breasts had stayed fuller, as did her hips. Brina let her smile spread. She enjoyed the way she filled out her clothes now. In preparation for trying to conceive, she had gone on an extreme healthy eating plan and rigorous workout schedule in order to be prepared and fit. She had to admit that she liked her softer frame. She liked how she felt, and she especially liked the way Mel touched her curves.
"You don't mind?" Brina asked, feeling shy from her thoughts.
"Mind? Oh, baby, I hold all of you in my heart and on my lips."
Mel leaned over and kissed each of Brina's nipples lightly.
"You know what else?"
Mel cocked her head provocatively and Brina raised an eyebrow.
"You still taste like clover," Mel said and lightly brushed Brina's lips with her own.
"I do?"
Brina blushed when she saw the grin take over Mel's face.
"Mm-hmm,"
Mel hummed and kissed Brina with invitation. Before they had succeeded in conceiving, Mel told Brina she tasted sweet, like a flower. After they conceived, Mel confessed that Brina tasted earthier, like clover. Brina loved that change the most. Tasting like clover made her feel more womanly, wiser, as if somehow she had earned how she tasted. It was much better than tasting like a nondescript flowery bouquet. The idea of clover helped her feel strong and mysterious. She thought she had lost her clover taste along with everything else. Learning it remained gave her a little more courage. It reminded her of how she felt when it was first discovered. It also made her feel guilty for shutting Mel out. She missed her, and not knowing how to walk this path of uncertainty, she had shut down.
"It has been a year since we stopped trying, and I still chart my ovulation,"
Brina admitted, wanting Mel with her, wanting to try to let her back in. She was feeling stronger with each word Mel shared and each kiss she was given. Brina was tired of holding it all in. It was exhausting hiding her pain and masking her denial.
"I know. When I see that mark on the calendar, I always bring you home daisies,"
Mel responded. She didn't need to wait for the mark on the calendar. She knew when Brina ovulated by watching her
and knowing her. Their old habits of charting might and could go on forever. It was now an instinct, for they were both devoted to its purpose. Daisies, my favorite. Brina's inflection was thoughtful. I assumed you brought me flowers because you noticed I was sad. She was slightly embarrassed by not putting these two actions together. I did notice. I have noticed. I hope I wasn't wrong to give you space to process. But I don't bring you daisies to commemorate sadness. I bring you daisies to celebrate the life in you. The life we share. It's the same reason I planted the trees after each miscarriage. We can watch those trees grow, chart their progress, celebrate their birthdays. Heck, we can decorate those branches with baby clothes if we want to. Mel let out a small laugh and was delighted when Brina joined her. Ah, Bree, we can be the greatest aunts our nieces and nephews have ever seen. We can mentor and babysit, and if you ever want to adopt, be it human, animal, or fern, I will be right beside you every step of the way. Mel smiled and hugged Brina from behind. It was a sensory treat to see their image looking back at them from the mirror. Brina naked and exposed with Mel's arms wrapped safely, securely around her. Brina thought she might cry again at the sight, for she had pictured a third or a fourth or a fifth in that same family portrait. I so wanted to give you a child or children of our own, Brina announced. Mel turned her around to face her. She reached up and caught the tears before they could fall. She cradled Brina's chin and looked into her eyes imploringly. Don't you know how much you've given me? I came alive when I met you. I didn't know what love was until I fell in love with you. My life thrives in that love. Ah, Bree, all of these lines and markings, as you call them, aren't scars to me. They show me and remind me every day how much you have given me, how much you sacrificed of yourself to show me your love for me, for yourself, for our family. You, Brina, are the reason I am on this earth. That includes the life inside you, however it manifests. You are all I will ever need. I promise you, today and always, that I will spend the rest of my life showing you that. Brina leaned forward and let Mel catch her in an embrace. Safe in the envelopment of their love, Brina did not restrain her tears. She cried while Mel held her, and she held Mel. She cried for all the years of research and planning and medical reports. She cried for the charts, the injections, and for the successes that simply did not sustain. She cried for what should have been, yet ultimately would never be. She cried at happier memories, too. How she and Mel ate their way through their initial excitement. How Mel insisted that an orgasm helps with conception, and that it was most definitely her job to provide Brina with one, or several, for each attempt. She cried recalling their many conversations about raising a well-rounded adult, as opposed to possessing a child. She cried from thinking about the possibility that they could still do that, only, perhaps, in a different way. Mel held her and held her until the crying ceased and their breathing matched in a calm rhythm. When Mel trusted the worst had passed, she loosened their embrace and lifted Brina down off the counter for them to stand face to face. She took Brina's hands in hers and allowed them some time to swim in each other's eyes. It was an action of faith, a simple gesture to seal her commitment and their love. She believed they would be a stronger couple from enduring this heartbreak. She knew, deep in her heart, that as long as they had each other, they would always be on the right path. Mel rested her forehead gently upon Brina's. A sigh escaped through her smile. Now, what do you say we take that shower together? Mel suggested,
before taking Brina's hand and leading her through the door. Come on, my love. Let me show you what else has remained.